going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. And we're streaming live on YouTube, too, at the Team 980. Again, it's a monster sports day. It's a monster sports week here in the district. Of course, NFL draft tomorrow, which is where we go in 5 seconds. Just reminding you that Steve Wino will join us to preview the Caps playoff game tonight at 5:30. But right now, it is time.
Today's top story from the perspective of someone who's there.
You are looking live.
This just in.
Not my beat.
I am fairly confident that the first time I heard our next guest talk football was NFL draft season last year. We got to talk football with him all season long here on the show. He is an NFL analyst. It is our guy, Dan Pizzuta. Dan, what's up, my friend? How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I am doing great. I'm excited to talk to you. Draft season, it both goes on forever, but this year for us, Dan, because the Commanders went as far as they did in the playoff, it also feels very short. I truly cannot believe the draft is tomorrow. Are you in that boat? Or are you more of like the, oh my God, I can't believe it's taken this long to get here type of vibe?
Yes, I'm always in both camps because I usually typically go very long into free agency also. So my, you know, February into March is very free agent focus. I get to the combine and I'm usually learning who these guys are while I'm there. And I really don't start getting into the draft until after March. So it does still seem like it is a very long process here. But in terms of actually having dug into these guys and being full in the draft process, I get into that very late also.
So for someone who has, I think, a really excellent, like for me, your superpower as someone who studies this is like you have a really intense understanding of many of these teams' schemes in a way that a lot of people who are doing the mock drafts just don't, because they like they have an idea, but they're watching the college guys all year or whatever. As you've gone through and then started watching the college guys, before we get to anything Commander specific, unless this is the answer to your question, is there a guy you absolutely love as a fit with a particular team where you watch them and you go, that guy's an insert team here player?
Ooh, that's a good one. Let me think. I
can throw a couple at you that I've heard and get your feedback if we want to do it that way, because I did just absolutely 1,000% put you on the spot. And if I texted you that an hour ago, you would have had five guys ready. So I'll throw a couple at you. Cowboys, sure. And Tet McMillan.
Okay, so I was going to go with Matthew Golden for Dallas, but okay. Either one of those receivers, I think, fits really well, specifically with what Dallas needs. I think both of those guys, you know, are probably, you know, McMillan, I think, can handle being, you know, that type of outside X receiver. And I think he is going to be, you know, the first non, you know, Travis Hunter receiver taken, if you want to, you know, depending on how you want to classify Hunter, because he is really the one guy in this class who is that big outside guy who's going to play there. Goldeneye, I think, is going to be a guy who can move around a little bit. I like either one of those guys in Dallas because they can fit so well with what CeeDee Lamb does as that slot guy more often, but a guy who can get so many targets and pull so much attention in the slot, and having either Golden, who can move around a little more, or McMillan on the outside be able to complement them. And they just need some kind of juice, getting some verticality in that offense. So either Golden or McMillan is a fit I really like in Dallas, and I could see them going wide receiver regardless of which one of them is on the board there.
Yeah, I definitely could as well. I kind of hope they go McMillan, because then I'm like, I don't know, there's a world where Golden falls to 29, and that would be sweet. Although he's, you know, receiver may not be Washington's top thing, but I like his fit here better. Since we went receiver, I'll give you another one. How about Emeka Egbuka and either of the Los Angeles teams?
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense, too. I could, you know, the Pittsburgh is probably not a team that's going to go wide receiver, but I could see him there, too. He's a guy that is just going to be, you know, one of those kind of power slot kind of guys, but like you said, going to fit in one of those Los Angeles teams specifically, because he does, play the slot, is that kind of smooth route runner, plays faster than kind of you would expect from how he plays, is a very solid and willing blocker. So he's going to bring kind of that power there. So, you know, yeah, putting him in kind of a McVay offense and with Devontae Adams, Puka Nacua, that would be a very fun 11 personnel team.
I would be so mad if the Rams got him. Like, oh, you get rid of Cooper Kupp and you get this guy? Cool. That's fair. That's sure. Fine. Do it, Sean. Just make everybody else mad. I got one more for you, and then I want to kind of do an inverse question or inverse version of that question. What about Tyler Booker and the Cincinnati Bengals? I heard that one today, and I was like, everyone and their mother thinks the Bengals can or are going to and should go defense because reasons. But Tyler Booker is a really interesting guard prospect. And a team like Cincinnati, I do wonder if they're just like, hey, if we can protect Joe Burrow, like, we'll figure out everything else. And Tyler Booker, I'm curious what you think of that fit.
Yeah, he is super interesting because he is a guy that kind of is going to play into more of the kind of the gap scheme type of running just because of the bigger body that he is. He's not so much that guy that you're going to want to be doing laterally. And I think he's going to be good in some of that pass protecting, some of the quick game that Cincinnati wants to play. So I think he would be a good fit there if that is something where they think they need to continue to shore up that offensive line. I think he does as that bigger body fits with, you know, those bigger tackles that they have too. I think that would be something that works, but like you said, I would expect them to go defense. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if this is like they put almost all of their picks into defense just because they need to throw as many resources to that as they can, because I think they can kind of, at least in the interior, kind of cover up the interior of the offensive line with how they play, how quickly Burrow typically gets the ball out. But if they do want to go in the interior there, I think Booker is the type of guy who does make sense with what they're doing schematically.
So real quick before I ask my inverse question, was there anybody else that popped to mind of like really great scheme fit in the first round for one of these teams?
I think those are kind of what are hitting. I mean, I would love to see, you know, like I think Tyler Warren in Chicago would be a lot of fun. I know they do have Cole Kmet, but I think Warren is definitely more of a guy you can move around a little bit, and just kind of the way he is able to. I've seen a lot of people start to say that how Penn State designs plays specifically for Warren, that's starting to become like a negative in his scouting report. Because you're not really seeing that many schemed type of plays for a tight end in the NFL. But I think Penn State was doing that because they had absolutely no one else to throw to. So if they weren't scheming plays for Tyler Warren, they weren't going to be scheming plays for anyone else. So I don't think he needed those schemed plays to be getting open. And I think the way that they can move him around, kind of have him be like in a San Francisco sense, and this would kind of be my like fit that would answer that question also, like Tyler Warren in San Francisco playing like a mix of George Kittle and Kyle Juszczyk as a guy who can be a tight end, but move into the backfield, be kind of an H-back type thing. You know, he would never get to 11. I don't think San Francisco would do that. That wouldn't be their pick because I think they have so many other holes. But having him be that kind of movable piece in an offense, I think would be really fun. I think Chicago would get a lot of use out of him in that way.
Interesting. Dan Pizzuta with us here on The Hoffman Show. So then there's the inverse version of this question is basically, what do you do with Malachi Starks? Because my guy, Logan Paulson's got him as like a top 10, I think, player in this draft. But there's the classic, like, he's a safety. He might be a nickel. He might be free. He might be strong. Like, what do you do with him? How high do you have Malachi Starks? And then what team do you – like, if you're a division rival of a team that you don't want to see him go to, who's that team? We're, you know, for example, when Kyle Hamilton went to Baltimore, very similarly, everyone else that had to play Baltimore was just like, of course, that guy went to Baltimore. That sucks for us. Who's that team for Malachi Starks?
I mean, it's going to be super interesting, especially for the safeties, because I don't know how high the NFL really is on the position. We kind of see that every year, both in the draft, like Kyle Hamilton never should have fallen as far as he did. And I think, you know, some of that was from the workouts. But again, he was just like a great football player. And we've seen that translates. He is, again, a great football player in the NFL. I think it is going to be similar for Starks. But, you know, once we were in the early parts of draft season, it seemed like he could potentially be going early. But maybe now it's, you know, the back of the 20s. And I think, you know, if he slides to Buffalo back, like, I think they need a safety and have the guy who kind of has real good range. And that way, I think that could completely transform what Buffalo does in the back end, because they don't really have that really rangy guy in the back end, or even someone who just has that speed and athleticism and versatility to be moving there. So if he is slides back to Buffalo, I think that really makes that defense very interesting and kind of compounds what they've been trying to build up in the front four. And safety is definitely, I think, a position of need for the Bills too.
So when we talk about the Commanders, edge is the position that comes up the most. First and foremost, how would you rank the Commanders' needs / wants? Like, if you're in Adam Peters' chair, what are the positions that you're hoping you have the pick of the litter from at 29?
Yeah, I think edge is going to be the top one. Just because there are going to be, it's a decent edge class, but especially in the first round, I think you're kind of just hoping one of those middle of the first type of guys kind of gets to the back of the 20s for them. Because I think it does drop off a little bit in terms of, you know, the next tier of edge rushers that would be going, you know, in the second round. I think what Washington should kind of be wanting is one of those guys who's a little more athletic. And I know there are a wide range of those guys. I think there are some athletic guys like a Shamar Stewart, who's this super athlete, doesn't really know what he's doing as a pass rusher. I think there are some guys that are kind of in between a little bit. But then once you get to kind of, you know, the second tier, or the guys who are going to be, you know, potentially going in the second round, if there's a very early run on edge rushers, you're getting into kind of like the Jack Sawyers, guys who are good, but are going to be winning kind of more with their pass rush moves and their instincts, which is going to be great. But Washington kind of already has those guys, where you already have a Dorrance Armstrong, you already have a Dietrich Wise who came over in free agency. So you kind of already have that archetype of pass rusher. So if you can get one of these kind of, you know, explosive guys, I think that is potentially what the best case scenario for Washington in the first round.
So where do you come down on what we've basically turned into the Donovan Ezeraku versus Shamar Stewart argument? The polished, we have the production, but we understand the limitations athletically, versus this dude is the most ridiculous ball of clay that we have to mold that we could possibly think of, but the production isn't there. So if those two players somehow are both on the board at 29, and you're my D-line coach, Dan Pizzuta, and I'm GM Adam Peters, and I look at you and go, on you, bud, which one do you want? Which direction do you go between Ezeraku and Stewart?
Yeah, it's tough. I think those two specifically, I think I would go with Ezeraku, because I really like what he was able to bring to the table. I think he does have a little bit of that, you know, explosiveness and the production that it was definitely there that translates. You know, Stewart's tough, just because I know he was asked to do some strange things in college that he's probably not going to be asked to do quite as often in the NFL, you know, playing in, you know, kind of a four-eye alignment and, you know, kind of playing to the run first more so than he ever would as an NFL pass rusher. But just the inability to really close and finish some of his pass rushes is concerning to me. I think, you know, hopefully if there's a guy who kind of, you know, splits the difference a little bit, like if a James Pierce ends up, I think he is probably the middle part of those two guys, a guy who is definitely more athletic than as a Rocky would be, but definitely has more pass rush moves and more pass rush production than Shamar Stewart would be. So, I was, you know, going through a couple of, you know, mock draft simulators trying to, you know, see what the answer to this question was kind of last night while I was thinking about this. And Pierce did fall a couple of times. So I think if he's there, I think he could be, you know, the perfect type of guy, that guy who does have that athleticism, and I think is going to be, you know, that different piece, you know, opposite a Wise and an Armstrong, that kind of varies the type of guys you have on the edge.
So I feel like I'm obliged to say this because the audience has heard us talk about Pierce quite a bit, but I don't think he's going to be on their board because of the off-field and the competitive stuff, right?
Sure.
He's just, that's not who Dan Quinn is and who they want to be. He's not going to have the commander tag. But I'm curious, as a guy who comes at this through a very tape lens, like, how much does that stuff jump off the tape for you? And, like, where does that stuff go in your notes? Because some teams value it a lot, and I do think Washington is one of those teams. Some teams will look at a guy like James Pierce and be like, watch the highlight tape. We'll figure out how to get the highlight tape as often as possible. So how as you rank players in your own way that you're doing this as someone who's kind of doing it for 32 teams, how do you think about how competitive a guy is, for instance, especially if it's something that you can see on tape?
Yeah, I mean, it really depends on kind of what it is, right? Because if James Pierce is not that competitive, he still ended up with the highest pressure rate of all edge rushers in this class last year. So if it kind of just kind of depends. And I think that's, you know, the tough thing where I can come in and say, this guy looks very good at what he does. You know, I'm not going to be someone who is giving, you know, grand proclamations about what I think his character is, because I have absolutely no idea. So that's going to really be, you know, up for the teams when they're talking to these guys. When it translates to, you know, translates to the tape, and you can kind of see either, you know, taking some plays off, but sometimes there's even reason for that. But when you watch Pierce, it's still explosive. He's still getting to the quarterback. So if other things check out, I don't think that's something that really, you know, would give me an issue with what he's doing on the field.
Interesting. Yeah, because I think it's so, like, we just don't know. And that is a thing that we don't say often in the media, that we don't admit. But I am trying to say it as often as possible during draft season, because we hear all this stuff. And then a team will take a guy, and Adam Peters talked about his press conference yesterday. He's like, there was a guy that had all these character issues, supposedly, that we took in San Francisco. I wanted to know who it was. I wish someone had followed up and be like, can you tell us who the guy is, since he turned out to be a great guy? But he was like, he's the best teammate. He's the best competitor. Like, dude's been awesome. And so I don't know if it was like Fred Warner or someone, but like that's what the type of player that it sounded like. And so I guess we'll find out tomorrow night if James Pierce falls out of tomorrow night into Friday. Last thing for you real quick. I know you spent a ton of time studying Jacksonville, or I should say Liam Cohen's offense last year. He's now the head coach in Jacksonville. They've been getting mocked Mason Graham forever until this week, when all of a sudden you're seeing Tet McMillan, Ashton Jeanty being mocked there. Knowing what you know about Cohen's offense, do you think that the Jacksonville Jaguars at 5 become an unexpected pivot point for this draft?
I think they are going to be, regardless, because like you said, it was very chalky Mason Graham, because I just don't think many people were, you know, it was just kind of an easy thing to click off in a mock draft. And I don't think there was a lot of like real thought going into it for that much. So I could definitely see them going with an offensive skill player, because they definitely still need that. I mean, if I were in their position, I would lean McMillan, because I think that does create a really interesting receiving core with, you know, with Brian Thomas Jr., where you can have McMillan on the outside. He's that type of outside receiver that I think Trevor Lawrence would have, you know, some trust in. I don't see the Jeanty thing at 5, especially with their offensive line. I think, you know, I'm hoping Liam Cohen is coming from an offense where he realizes that Tampa Bay offensive line was a very good run blocking unit, which is why a guy like Bucky Irvin, who actually was one of the best running backs when he was like hit at or behind the line of scrimmage, still made some things happen. But they were so good at the design of some of the rushing things that were a lot built off what that offensive line does. So I would be very surprised if they go straight into let's throw a running back in here and try to supercharge the offense that way. But I would not be surprised if they do choose to go a wide receiver, especially a guy who can be that big X like McMillan.
Dan Pizzuta, Dan, where can folks find more of your breakdowns?
We're just heading out all social medias right now. More Blue Sky, but pretty much Dan Pizzuta anywhere you want to look.
All right, so we got X, you got doing some stuff on YouTube, especially on YouTube Shorts, so make sure you're following Dan there. Dan, always appreciate it, sir. Thank you, and happy draft day.
Yeah, thank you. You too. Have a good time.
That's Dan Pizzuto with us here on The Hoffman Show. It is draft day tomorrow. It is Capitals, Canadiens, game today. Tonight, Capital One Arena, you will see the Habs and the Caps get things going. Can the Capitals hold home ice with a win? Can it be less stressful than Monday's Game 1 overtime victory? These are the questions we have for AP National Hockey writer Steve Wino, who joins us next here on the Team 980.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, it's me, Paige DeSorbo, and I'm so excited to share my new shoe collection at DSW, filled with my favorite styles and trends for spring. Because if you know me, you know I'm kind of obsessed with shoes. And by kind of obsessed, I mean head over heels. You're going to love these shoes. So snag super cute styles like cute flats, fun heels, and cool sneakers from the Paige DeSorbo collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Capitals Canadiens game two tonight at Capital One Arena. Number one seed Capitals. Can they make it a little less stressful than it was on Monday night? Well, love an overtime win, but man, nobody loves overtime if they got feelings involved. Steve Wino was there. Of course, he has no feelings about any of this. He's just a journalist, neutral as could be. He's the AP's national hockey writer. Wino joins us now. Wino, how are we feeling, man?
Hello, down here.
I'm doing great, Craig. How are you doing?
Doing well. Appreciate your time on a busy day. What did we learn? Let's just start there. Game one's, Capitals dominant, really good, somewhere between there for 50 minutes, not so good for 10, and then they needed less than 3 minutes for Ovechkin to put the puck in the back of the net in overtime. What did we learn from game one?
Yeah, Craig, I think we learned that the Capitals were able to flip that switch from sort of not playing, getting Alex Ovechkin the record a couple weeks ago, and sort of not playing meaningful hockey for several months. They were able to sort of get back to the game and the style of play that they had for most of the regular season that made them successful and got them the top seed in the Eastern Conference. And we weren't sure if we were going to see that. And I think that was a good sign. And also we learned that Logan Thompson, he did struggle a bit, and the Canadiens didn't kind of make his life as difficult as they would have liked. But he shook the rust off, and we saw what the Capitals sort of what their identity wants to be, what they want to be as a team. And then we saw a little bit of a concerning sign from a Capitals standpoint of the Canadiens pushing in the second half of the third period. One penalty happens, Pierre-Luc Dubois gets called for tripping, power play goal, and everything sort of falls apart. And I think the Capitals' lesson for themselves probably in there is you can't let your foot off the gas. You can't just cut a coast to the finish because the Canadiens are not a pushover.
How confident are you in this Capitals team that they actually learned that lesson?
I'm very confident just because I think Spencer Carberry has been so good at pushing the right buttons for this team from the moment he took over. And he's been really good. I've said this a lot, that he adjusted. When he took over the job, he said, we're going to be a fast team and play with pace, and realized he had a slow old roster and sort of adjusted on the fly and kind of knew what to do and how to communicate those changes. And I think the message between games and from Carberry and the coaching staff is that you can't, there's no wiggle room to play like that. This is not yes, the Canadiens are an eight seed, but they've played so hot and they're sort of a young team with nothing to lose. And that's a scary sort of opponent to have in a spot like this. And they don't look like the Capitals last year where they ran out of gas from expending so much energy to get into the playoffs. Maybe if this is a 4 or 5 game series, we find out that they were like that. But this is a young, hungry opponent that the Capitals, I think, also should realize that they cannot take lightly just because they're a one seed and Montreal's the eight.
Steve Wino, national hockey writer at the Associated Press, with us here on the Hoffman Show. When you look at Logan Thompson's performance, like, he had some spectacular saves in that game, but you got to play 60 minutes, and it's game one back for him after the injury. The mistakes that he made, are those rust mistakes, or are those cause for concern? Like, where are we at on his game one performance, and really more so, Steve, and how we feel about him going into game two?
Well, I'm going to say rust for now, and we're going to find out more in a little bit tonight whether it's a cause for concern, because even Logan Thompson before the injury, his play from February on, since the Four Nations break, was not as good as it was up to the end of January when he got that contract extension. His play certainly had dropped off at some point in that period of time. But if he's able to sort of, if it's a rust thing, and he's able to sort of get back to the way that he was playing before the Four Nations break, that this is a Capitals team that there's a strength and an advantage in goal with Logan Thompson over the Canadiens and Samuel Montembeau, who arguably was Montreal's best player in game one.
We have seen teams in the past alternate goaltenders in the Stanley Cup playoffs. It is obviously not ideal, but if Thompson is going to play at the level that he played at post Four Nations, then is he still their best option at that level, or is going back to Charlie Lindgren, who helped them, you know, get into the playoffs and secure that one seed, albeit not certainly as playing as well as Thompson did pre Four Nations break, which of those two are better options if those are their levels?
I think it's Logan Thompson, because Charlie Lindgren, and I think he would admit this, did not play his best down the stretch, did not have a great season by his standard, and wasn't as good as he was last year when he carried the Capitals into the playoffs to get in game 82, and then lose to the Rangers. But this has not been Charlie Lindgren's best season. I do wonder how long the leash is on Logan Thompson if the Canadians are able to pump a few goals by him. They sort of let him off the hook a little bit in game one, partially because the Capitals had the puck more and the Canadians were defending so much that basically, Mike Mathis said this yesterday, they were defending so much that they had to go change and they couldn't really spend a whole lot of time in the offensive zone. If Martin St. Louis, a Hall of Fame player and now turning out to be a pretty good coach, figures out sort of the adjustment there to get the Canadians the puck more in the offensive zone, they're going to test Logan Thompson a lot more. And I don't think this is a sort of game three decision, but I wonder really, because the Capitals have played both goaltenders all year long and really and alternated them really for the first half of the season, I do wonder how long the leash is.
We had your colleague from ESPN, Greg Wyshynski, on the show on Monday, and I said, is there any chance the Capitals can perform well in this postseason if Alex Ovechkin is basically not a monster in terms of the goal-scoring tear that he's been on? You know, they got him the record and on through, and Greg was just like, no. Like, he's got to be their offense, the most critical piece. Be damned that he's 20 years into this. Game one, that's fine. We have learned not to doubt Alex Ovechkin. One, I would say, how likely is it that he can keep up not two goals per game pace, but some kind of really high pace at this stage of his career? And two, if he needs some support, where does that support need to come from?
Well, I don't know if he can keep up that sort of scoring pace, but the Capitals have shown that if they are able to control the puck and draw penalties, that he is still dangerous in a power play from the Ovi Zoy, from that spot in the left faceoff circle, to where he certainly was a motivated player coming off breaking the record, not having a point in the series against the Rangers last year. But the thing that Alex Ovechkin can do and did in game one is lead physically and throw in the body, and it was the entire team. I mean, they had a million hits. 14 of the 18 skaters had at least one hit in that game. And Ovechkin was the guy sort of setting the tone on finishing checks and sort of taking the toll on the Canadiens defensemen, specifically the young defenseman, Lane Hutson, who's probably going to be rookie of the year, of sort of doing that. But from an offensive standpoint, it's the same sort of secondary scoring the Capitals have gotten all season. Tom Wilson was a 30-goal scorer. Dylan Strome set a career high in goals, assists, and points. Pierre-Luc Dubois, also a career high in points. Connor McMichael is probably somebody who can step up. But I'll give you another one, Craig, and he's new to this team, but Ryan Leonard looked really good the other night and looked real close to breaking through and scoring his first NHL goal against a goaltender. He had the empty netter the same night Alex Ovechkin tied Wayne Gretzky's record. But Leonard looks like a guy who's ready to break through and score. And if he sort of finds his comfort level and is able to get out of that drought, he's a guy who could really help the Capitals in the series and potentially beyond.
By any chance, have you looked up who the last player was or how rare it is for a guy to get his first NHL career goal in the playoffs? It's going to happen more in this sport than any other based off how the calendar works. Do you happen to know that stat, or even better, like the Leonard stat of first non-empty netter in the playoffs?
Well, it actually happens fairly often. Tom Wilson made his NHL debut for the Capitals in the playoffs in 2013. I don't even remember if he scored in that series, but Kale McCarr of Colorado, who was the playoff MVP when the Avalanche won the Stanley Cup in 2022, was also a similar sort of thing. It happens so often with that guys get plugged in right into the lineup. The Montreal Canadiens have a guy, Ivan Demidov, who made his debut late in the regular season, similar to Leonard. It's happening actually a lot around the league right now, that good teams that are in the playoffs, plugging in these young players. And so it does happen a lot more than any other sport.
Yeah, it's kind of wild, just with the timing of the draft and how it all goes down. Last but not least, Wino, there are guys entering the lineup. There are also guys exiting the lineup. Where are we at on the injury front going into tonight for both of these teams?
Well, the Capitals announced yesterday that Barton Ferravari is out for the remainder of the playoffs after having surgery to repair that torn meniscus in his right knee. Alexi Protas skated again by himself this morning, did not take part in the Capitals' morning skate, did not take part in an optional practice yesterday. It feels like he's a little bit away, but it doesn't feel like he's terribly far away. If I had to guess right now, I would say he's probably in the lineup, maybe in Game 4 of Montreal. Maybe if the Capitals are up in the series, you wait until Game 5 because you have the extra day off between 4 and 5 next week. I could see Alexi Protas, which is actually a week from tonight, potentially making his return as soon as then. It's a skate cut to the top of his left foot, so it's a lot of it's got to be pain tolerance and also a little bit of conditioning since he hasn't played for a couple of weeks. The Capitals want to make sure he's good to go skating-wise, being able to push off on that foot and also be able to play the 18, 19, 20 minutes a game he did during the regular season.
And how big of losses do you think those are right now for Washington in this series and maybe even more so depending on how tonight goes beyond?
It's a big one. And Farivari certainly is the guy who played more penalty-killing time this season than anybody else. And so now everybody has to slide into that spot. Alexander Alexeyev, who took a stick to the mouth the other night and is going to be wearing a full fishbowl cage or visor over his face tonight, has to sort of fill in those minutes, and it's almost minutes by committee for Farivari. And Protas is a huge one. He's such a big imposing player. Not that he's a big hitting guy, but against a smaller kind of skilled Canadian team with not a whole lot of experience, Alexi Protas in front of the net, what he's been able to do 5-on-5 scoring-wise, I think you take it as, yes, it's a big loss, but I think the Capitals have to look at it as glass half full, that they can get through this series and get through Montreal without Alexi Protas for some of it or all of it, that they have a huge reinforcement coming in Protas, coming off a career year, a guy who signed long-term at an insanely bargain basement price, who looks exactly like the kind of player who can make a difference in the playoffs.
Steve Wino, national hockey writer for the Associated Press. He's at Capital One Arena where, about an hour and 20 minutes from now, they'll get things going between the Capitals and the Canadiens. Steve, always appreciate it. Why am I calling you Steven twice this interview? Wino, thank you. It felt weird both times. Wino, thank you.
Thanks, Greg. Enjoy the game tonight.
I will do my best. That's Steve Wino with us, a.k.a. Anthony Wino. I've never called that man by his first name once in the decade that we've known each other.
I'm not going to. I felt weird calling him Steven. Even when I texted him, I said, this doesn't feel right.
It's hey, dude, or hey, Wino in a text. Yeah. And it's he's either Steve Wino, Steven Wino, or just Wino. Never Steve or never Steven.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry to everybody, and especially Wino. When we get back, we'll talk some hoops here on the Team 980. First, a look at what's trending.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So, you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on sports networks. Availability varies by zip code and package. New customers. Service renews monthly unless you cancel. Choice package required. Restrictions apply.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
MLB.tv is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.tv. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We're rolling near the end of the Hoffman Show here on a Wednesday because the Washington Nationals are hosting the Baltimore Orioles tonight, and you can hear it right here. Nats on Deck coming up at 6:15 and then at 6:45, first pitch with Charlie and Dave. Of course, the Capitals in action tonight as well. 7 o'clock, the puck drops, and then tomorrow night, Anthony, we are off early today. We are on late tomorrow. We are on until 8 p.m. because tomorrow is the NFL draft.
Let's go.
I'm excited. The intrigue. Who are they going to take? And then everyone's, of course, rooting for the same people that sponsor our weekend preview segment, which is nobody. Everyone wants a trade back. How many quarterbacks is it going to take in the first round for the Commanders to get a trade back? I think it's going to... Actually, we'll talk hoops in 10 minutes. But I think this is an interesting point. I was listening to a podcast yesterday, The Athletic Football Show, which, I do listen to it a lot, and I talk about it a lot because they're very smart and they make good points. But they had a mailbag question about the fifth-year option, Anthony. And I think it's worth reiterating a point that Robert Mays made that I had forgotten about, specific to why... The fifth-year option talk is a little bit overrated for basically everyone but quarterbacks. And even then, I don't even know how viable it is. So the fifth-year option used to be pretty cheap. It's not as cheap as the current or as the first 4 years of the rookie deal. But in the new CBA that started in 2018, I think, somewhere in there, they changed the fifth-year option. And now, if a player's really good, makes a Pro Bowl good.
Sauce Gardner.
That fifth-year option is the franchise tag. I think if it's two Pro Bowls, it's the franchise tag. If it's one Pro Bowl, it's the transition tag. The franchise tag, if you need a reminder, is a fully guaranteed one-year deal worth the average of the top five players at that position. That's an expensive fifth-year option. The Texans aren't going to sign C.J. Stroud to the fifth-year option, and the Commanders are not going to pick up Jaden Daniels' fifth-year option. Why? Because they're just going to sign him to an extension. Because if you can sign him to an extension after year three, imagine how much higher the market is 2 years later. You want to lock in that extension before the market jumps, and then hopefully by the end of that, you wind up with something resembling a team-friendly deal for the last couple of years, and you probably have to sign him to another extension. They might do Patrick Mahomes 10-year bit. C.J. Stroud in Houston will probably get a 5-year deal. We'll see. It depends on, obviously, how the next year goes for both of them. But, the point is, if a player's actually that good, you're probably, the smart teams anyway, are not worried about a fifth-year option. They are merely going to sign that player to an extension, and thus trading back into the first round to make the first 4 years of the contract more expensive and have the option for a fifth year is kind of pointless. Like, sure, if you truly need 5 years to figure a guy out, you could pick up the fifth year option and play it out and then be like, oh, okay, cool. You rocked in your fifth year. We'll sign you to an extension. But if you didn't know after year three or year four, you're probably not going to want to sign that guy. Like, guys that get their fifth year option picked up and they go that route is like, didn't Daniel Jones get his fifth year option picked up by the Giants? And then they signed him to a deal and then they regretted it instantly. So I just think the fifth year option talk is not nothing, right? There's a chance that if for a quarterback, it makes a little more sense and maybe it happens. But there's been some more talk about, oh, could a tackle fall and a team wants to get the fifth year option? No, they don't want a fifth year option on a tackle. If he's good, they want to sign him to an extension. And if he's not, then they don't want to pay him a fifth year option's worth of money. And so I would tell Commanders fans, unfortunately, even though it would be the prudent thing to do very likely at 29 for Washington, I don't know that there's going to be a partner to trade back. I would not get your hopes up for that scenario. If it happens, great. But I would not get your hopes up for that scenario.
Yeah, and I think even going off that, when Sam Fortier was on with us earlier today, and he was saying, you know, there's a few trade partners ahead of us. You got the Vikings. You also have, who's the other team? I think the Texans, maybe?
The Rams have been a popular team.
Rams.
But the Vikings are the big one because they have four draft picks.
Yeah, so, like, even then, like, we're probably going to miss out on, you know, a team wanting to, you know, move up because they can, you know, essentially move up further than, you know, 29 kind of thing. So it would suck, but I'm not gonna lie, Craig. You enlightened me today as far as like the fifth year option stuff goes. Cause I didn't know all that it entails. So
here's the list of 2022 first round draft picks that can have their fifth year option picked up this year. Trayvon Walker's was picked up. They don't want to give him a huge pass rusher extension. That one's fine with me. Like, go. He's been 12th in the NFL in sacks since 2023. Go do it again. We'll pay you. Aiden Hutchinson's got the injury. Derek Stingley, he's awesome. So what did the Texans do? Signed him to an extension. They signed a 3-year, $90 million extension. And they also picked up his fifth-year option. So it kind of becomes a 4-year extension. The Jets are picking up Sauce Gardner's. They've got a new staff in place. I would imagine they want to get a deal done. Kayvon Thibodeau's not getting picked up. Aquanu, no. Neal, no. Drake London, that's an interesting one. But I think if I'm the Falcons, I would rather get an extension done at, you know, 80% of the top of the market, considering the top of the market is now Jamar Chase's $40 million. Can I get Drake London to sign a $30 million deal? Or do I have to pick up his fifth-year option and then play chicken next year? Garrett Wilson, Jets picked it up. Chris Olave actually got picked up, which is kind of crazy to me considering his injury situation. But no one else. I mean, there's great players in here. Jameson Williams, Kyle Hamilton. Is there anybody else that's worth mentioning? Probably not.
Hamilton's hasn't been picked up yet?
No, because they're going to work on an extension. My guess is after the draft and then like the first day that training camp opens, four guys I just mentioned have new deals. Because that's how it works.
You said Jameson Williams?
Yeah.
He's a first rounder?
Yeah. He was like 18th overall or something like that.
I didn't think he was the first, because remember, he was coming off the injury.
Yeah, but he would have been wide receiver one probably in that class. And people were just fine taking him. When he went to the Lions, everyone went, oh no. He was he was the 12th pick.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dope. Yeah. He looked like a first rounder.
Yeah, it's worked out quite nicely for them.
Yes.
All right, when we get back, busy night ahead in the NBA. Anthony's also relieved because his Lakers figured out a way to get it done last night. Maybe he's not relieved because he was kind of frustrated with how that game ended. We'll talk about it and wrap things up here on the Team 980.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.